Yeah, it's so wonderful and moving to see people responding and God doing things in people's lives. And we said, you know, a few weeks ago that we got a vision to see 20 people saved this year. And even since we've said that just a few weeks ago, that we've seen several people respond and to say, yeah, I want Jesus. And that is amazing. Amazing to see that. And you know, I just encourage us again, you know, let's be about that. You know, let's be in everything that we do. And just when we're at work, and, you know, because you and me, we're Mr. and Mrs. Normal. Now, I don't say that in a negative way. I mean that we are normal in one sense, but we are supernatural and different in as well. You know, we are not people that you know, have a high profile, and but you understand what I mean. But we are normal people, but have leading an extraordinary life in God. So when we go to work, thank God that you're at work. Because that's the place that God has put you, around other people, to share the love of Jesus. You're not a second-rate citizen because you're not a minister. You're at work. You're a minister where you are at work. Fantastic. Go for it. And live life to the full, and live the dream. Because we're living it. This is our moment to shine for Jesus. And so this whole year in home groups and other stuff that we're going to be doing, we're really encouraging people to shine. Because, you know, if you don't shine the light, people are going to perish. If we don't shine, people are going to die. Because people are going to go to hell if they don't know Jesus. And so I'm encouraging you. What are we doing this year? We're putting the focus on evangelism. Firstly, the reason why we do it, if we don't do it, people are going to die. People are going to perish. People are going to go to hell. And, you know, the good thing about the gospel is that Jesus said to us as Christians, go into all the world. He didn't say this is just for the Anglican church. He didn't say this is just for the Catholic church to do. He didn't say this is just for the mission of God TV to go and do. He said it's the mission of every single one of us to go and preach the gospel, the good news. So first of all, if we don't do it, people are going to die. Secondly, that's our commission. We've been commissioned by God to go and do it. And thirdly, the gospel is amazing news. You all look so bored. I don't know why. The gospel is amazing news. It is the most life-changing. It is, you know, the gospel is good news. You know, I shared before, but the gospel is good news. And I was saying, you know, that I heard a presentation that said, and if you don't believe it's good news, then you don't understand the gospel. The gospel is the greatest news. It's the most powerful message. It is the life-saving, transforming lifeline that has been given to the world. And it's Jesus extending his hand, and he's given us the commission to go and do it. He could send legions of angels, you know, like SAS. They could like parachute in from heaven, come down and preach to everybody. But he hasn't chosen to save the world through angels coming to preach. He's chosen to save the world through us being busy and talking and sharing Jesus and daring to say, let me pray for you if you're at work and somebody is sick. Or, it's great, you know, to be able to be out on the streets there. And, you know, I've been talking with Andrew and others about, you know, taking a team of people and going out on the streets and just engaging people, you know, not ramming stuff, but you know, there Andrew said, and if you remember, he said that there are sometimes there's fruit. You know, if you go to a tree and you take an apple, and if the fruit is ready, it just comes. And those are the people that we want to, you know, those people that we want to connect with, those that are on a journey, and those people that God has prepared their hearts. And so you know, even to ask simple questions like, you know, if, let me ask you a question, if God, if you could ask God anything that would, and you'd get the answer for, or you could ask God anything, what would that one thing be? And I'm not asking you to answer that, but you know, that's sometimes a good question to ask people. You know, you get into a conversation, you could just throw it in, just as a, you know, if you were going to, if you could ask God anything, what would it be? Ask questions. They might say, don't believe in God. Fair enough. Not interested. Fair enough. You know, badger somebody, and they might say, you know, that's a really good question. I've never thought of that. Blah, blah, blah. You know, you never knew you could be leading someone to Jesus this week. Wow! Just because you decided to ask a question. Ask a question. Be interested in people. Test the fruit. Are you all right? Test the fruit. See whether it's going to, whether it's ripe. See whether people's hearts have been prepared. Test the fruit and see. So this isn't my message. This is, I'm just encouraging you. We have a vision to see 20 people saved. Let's get with it. Come on. Let's really, you know, if we get 80, we're not going to stop at 20. If we get to 20, like, well, fantastic. We've reached it. Right. We can all relax, ladies and gentlemen. We're all right. Steve's not going to talk about it anymore. No, let's just go. It's not because I'm telling you to do it, but it truly is the most important message. And like I say, if you don't understand and you don't think it's the gospel, then you need to come and get saved. Just a joke. No, you need to believe and understand and really grasp the fact that the gospel is actually the only answer that this world has to any problem that we have. Really is. Because what profit is it if a man gains the whole world and he has all the riches in the bank and he has all the status and all the money and all the cars and he has everything, but he dies and goes to hell? What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And so let's fall in love with the gospel, fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with his message, fall in love with the gospel, understand the importance of it, and preach to everything that moves this week. Yeah? Go for it. Is everybody all right? Can you just, maybe let's just take 2 minutes, because you're all concerning me. Turn to the person beside you and just say, are you alive? Are you all right? Is everything okay? Just talk to them a minute. And okay, that's enough. Are they awake? Can I encourage you? I need help this morning. It's very intimidating standing up the front here looking at all you lot. You're looking that way, looking at me. I'm looking at you. And takes a brave man to stand up here, okay? Be strong and courageous. I can't even speak. Can I encourage you that we want you guys to be coming and ministering in the church? And you know what? That means that we have to prepare our hearts before we come to church. You know, can I be honest? I can remember so often coming to church, having a bad week, sitting in church thinking, oh, now I've got to get my heart right and I've got to get my mind together because, you know, maybe God wants to speak through me. And I'm like, oh, and it's like, and then by the end of the service, I'm kind of like, in some way, kind of like reached that place. Now I'm going out. And I want to encourage you, you know, think about preparing your heart before you come to church so that you've got something then to give. Because I know what it's like. I've been there. I know what it's like when you kind of know that you're supposed to do stuff. And you know that the Bible says that everybody comes and they've got a psalm and a hymn. And that's the theory. But then we come to church so often and think, I'm so drained. I just don't think I've got... The reason that sometimes we feel like that is because we maybe haven't stilled ourselves and quietened ourselves and prepared our hearts. So I'm just to encourage, you know, every week we say, let's just give time, come forward, and come and give a word, and because we want to do that. What we're saying is that these people at the front here aren't special, that all of you are special, that all of you are people that God can speak through. I don't know if I'm ever going to get through to my message this morning. I don't know. We really want to release you in that. Are you with us with that? Or are you, because I think that thing about coming to a meeting and just being there and spectating, because it's easy, isn't it? You know, the worship was a 3, and the preach was a 0.5, and you understand what it's not about people. Yeah, thanks a lot. Right, just like that. Thank you, Dave. it's not about people coming to a performance. This is about all of this is worship. Life is about worship, isn't it? It's participating. We are somehow co-laborers with Christ, which means that we've got to kind of get with the program and come expectant. I want to talk this morning about being expectant. I bet that's a good link. Coming expectant. What we're going to do over the next few weeks, we're going to do a series about encountering God. Now, let me qualify what I mean. I mean, how to position ourselves, or things that we can do in our lives, or the attitudes that we can adopt. And as we see in the Word of God, where there were men that had amazing encounters with God, that they had attitudes, and they had their hearts were soft for God to use them and to do things in them and through them. And so we want to look over these next 4 or 5 weeks just about how we can position ourselves, what we can do, what attitudes can we adopt. What does God want to do in us so that we can even more deeply break through to meet with God? So what is your expectancy this morning for what God's going to do? And I do, sometimes we come to church, don't we? And, you know, I've done it before. We come to church and we just, we kind of just, you know, sit there. The pastor should be pleased that I'm here. That's good enough. I mean, I'm in the building. I mean, my mind might be somewhere else, but physically, I'm here. Isn't that true? No one's going to. Oh, okay. So a few honest people here, isn't it? And sometimes we can come. You know, God is not stuck in a rut. Do you know that? Bible says that God is living. God's word is living and active, powerful, and God is not stuck in a rut. But so often we can get stuck in a rut of just coming and doing and just being. And actually, sometimes there can be no expectation for us to meet with God. You know, if you come with no expectation, God is going to meet you there. Seriously. Seriously. If you come to church with no expectation that God's going to do anything, then your faith is going to be met. Absolutely true. But, you know, when you come with expectation, and we'll look at some scriptures. When you come with expectation, that is one of the things that God wants us to have for having an encounter with God, having a break, positioning ourselves for God to move in a deeper way in our lives. Don't just come to church and switch off. Please, I'm trying to release you into something greater, and I'm trying to encourage you to use your gifts, and so that all of us can be blessed. You know, you there's some great people out there that are better prayers than I am, people that are better preachers than I am. You've got great giftings better than I've got. Yes, it's true. So don't hold back from blessing the church just because maybe we haven't prepared our hearts, or maybe there's no, you know, God can't use me. Yes, he can. Stop saying that and stop speaking lies over your life and stop limiting what God can do. Start to believe and start to confess actually that I can do all things, and that actually God does want to use me. He does what, and we need you to be those that use their gifts and exercise their gifts in the church. Otherwise, we're just coming and we're just spectating and we've just come to a lecture. And that's not actually what worship is about, is it? No, it's not. It's not. So we're going to start a series. You know, think of King David after he committed adultery and he murdered Bathsheba's husband Uriah. And he was remorseful for all the stuff that happened, but David experienced, came to God and he experienced God's grace and God's forgiveness. In John 4, verse 17 to 18, there was the story where Jesus met with the woman at the well, and she was so full of guilt and shame about what she had done. But she met with Jesus. She came to Jesus. Her heart was right. She wanted a change in her life. Jesus met her. And you know, the Bible says that many people believed. Many people came to faith through her testimony of what happened to her when Jesus and her had an encounter. Amazing story. Read it. We haven't got time to read it, but John chapter 4, 17 and 18. And I'm going to read some scripture from Exodus in a minute, but there was another, you know, think of Jacob and the encounters that he had with God. And there in Genesis 32:28, it says, you know, that his brother was coming and he thought, my goodness, I have sinned against my brother. My brother is coming to kill me. And it says there that he face to face met with God. He said, God, I want to meet with you. I need your help. It's very different having a face to face encounter with God than just saying, well, just be glad, God, I've come to church. Be glad that I'm here. Very different, isn't it? And I hope you understand my heart. I am not condemning. I'm just trying to encourage you that there is more in God for you. Did you hear what I said? And there's more in God for this church, where he wants to take us. But there are things and attitudes and mindsets sometimes that need to be broken for us to press in and break through into the greater level. Because I don't want us to stay the same. And I don't want me in my own Christian walk to stay the same. I want to understand more about him. I want to be more in love with him. I want to be on a Zimmer frame. And I want to be old and decrepit, but I just want to be so passionate for Jesus. And I want to know him better than I know now. Yes? And that's going to happen as I press into him and I break those kind of just mindsets of limitation and all the other junk that the enemy puts on us. So, you know, apparently, you know, Moses was a man, wasn't he, that had an amazing encounter with God. And apparently it's been calculated that they would have needed 1,500 tons of food each day and 11 million gallons of water to survive. And the area of ground that they would have used would have been, to camp in, would have been twice the size. You know the Isle of Wight? More than twice the size of the area of the Isle of Wight. Amazing when you think about it. And I think if Moses sat down and thought about the logistics of how he was going to manage that, how on earth can you manage or, you know, to care for that many people? I don't think he did. But what Moses had was that he had faith in God, that God would take care of everything. Do you know why he did that? Do you know why he was able to have that faith? Let's look in Exodus 33. So thinking about, you know, this isn't just rocking up at church or this isn't just kind of, you know, literally a wing and a prayer. It says that in Exodus 33, verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses. What does it say? The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. There is something about having times like that with God, meeting with God face to face. I think those times with God, there was a download of strengthening. There was a download of faith. There was a download of encouragement that was coming from God as he met with Moses. And there was great deposits going into him so that he could have faith to believe that they could have enough water to survive in the desert. They had quail takeaway. How awesome was that? That the birds flew in to the camp. God provided things that were never seen previously and have never been seen before, God did for them. Bless you. A very tuneful sneeze there, Joy. Achoo! Water from the rock. Cloud at night. Pillar in the day. But Moses met with God face to face. And there are many things, you know, God said to him, come up to the mountain, but come alone. We'll look at that. Come alone. I don't want there to be any animals, any people, nothing. I don't want there to be anywhere near the mountain. You come alone and you come to me and meet with me. And you can commune with me and I'll talk with you. And we'll be face to face. Something happens. Doesn't it? Something happens when we have face-to-face time with God, when we hear from God. When we have those times, we will not be able to contain ourselves, because as soon as there's a moment, someone gets off the microphone, let me come and share. The time that Moses had must have strengthened his faith and given him great confidence in God's ability to look after him and care for Israel. Exodus 33, verse 34. Actually, there isn't a 34, is there? Exodus, what scripture is that then? I think it's 32, sorry. The Bible says that Moses walked with God, yet he also disciplined him as a father or a parent disciplines a child. It says, the Lord replied to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot them out of my book. Go now, lead the people to the place where I spoke of. My angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sins. And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf Aaron had made. Moses learned important lessons on what pleased God and how to approach him. So I want to just give a few points today of how we can prepare ourselves to meet with God. What can we do? Well, I don't have a quiet time. Begin to have a quiet time with God. That, you know what? That is face to face time with God. I feel weak in my faith. Have a quiet time. Are you reading the Word? Well, no. The Word of God builds faith. The Word of God is medicine. The Word of God establishes. The Word of God reveals God's character. Spend time face to face with God. Come expectant. Wow, it's church this morning. Yeah, what's God going to do? the wife's dragging me here, so I've got to come. I suppose, you know, those Christians, oh goodness. No! Yeah! I'm expectant because God's going to do something. We've upset Roger. Roger's off. We're timing you, Roger. Come back. No, no. So, Exodus 33. Because, let's read 15 to 18. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else would distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." You know, there was one of the first things we can do is, you know, that, and looking from the life of Moses, he longed for God. And he longed for the things of God, and he longed for the presence. "Show me your glory," he said. He longed. And you know what is more amazing is that somehow Moses had an expectancy that God was going to answer his request. How awesome and amazing is that? When you pray, when I pray, do I have an expectancy? Actually, God's hearing, and I'm praying in line with his will, and therefore he's going to answer. I mean, that's a very dynamic, powerful way to live and to pray, isn't it? That's that. But I want to be like Moses. I think there are things in these characters in the Bible that we can learn in some ways or understand. These people lived differently, or they understood certain things. They were obedient. You know, I was saying to Ali, you know how it is when people just throw off cast off lines, and I think it was Andrew or somebody said, obedience brings God's presence. Think about it. Obedience brings God's presence. So many times in my life, and I'll say me because I'm sure none of you have done this. So many times I've heard God speak to me, but I've not obeyed. And because I've not obeyed, I maybe have missed out on something amazing that God wanted to do. And if we're all honest, we can all say that, can't we? Obedience brings the presence of God. Sometimes when it's so hard, and I've had times where God's told me to do stuff and it's been hard, whether it's to give money or whether it's to do all kinds, but I've given, and you know, there's such a joy. And even when it's painful and difficult, there's a joy. You know why? Because obedience brings, it does, the presence of God. Like, yeah, I heard God, I heard him speak, I've obeyed him, and I'm in a good place with God. And I just encourage you, you know, when you hear God speak to you, guys, let's obey him. Let's not be disobedient, but let's be obedient. You know what? Being obedient to the word of God, you know, your relationship with God, you'll come closer to God. Do you believe me? Come expectant. Be obedient to what God tells you to do. God wants to do so much in and through you. Allow God to work miracles in your life, just as he did with Moses. What does it say in Isaiah chapter 55? "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts." Do you know that God has expectations of you? And actually, The expectation that God has for you are actually a lot higher than we have of ourselves. God wants to do amazing things in and through you. You know, you may say, well, actually, I'm in God, I'm able to achieve this level. Actually, when God looks at you, he's like, wow, those guys there, that lady there, that young person there, they're high flyers. Yes. You know, sometimes all it takes is an obedient heart and a willing heart and someone to actually say, yes, actually, I do believe that you can use me. I'm willing. And God can do it. He can do amazing things through every single person here. Turn to the person beside you and say, did you hear that good news? Come on. Okay, Ephesians, I'll go on till 10 past, okay? And then I'll finish. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, and now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us. Do you know how God can do immeasurably more? It's not because he's slapping you around. It's because his spirit is at work in you and drawing you. And all you need to do is just submit to him and be obedient. It's so easy. So difficult. Oh. It's so easy. But you know, the flesh has to die. And all that means is we have to humble ourselves. Sooner or later, we will go full circle and come to the point when we realize actually God is going to win every time. So we may as well, seriously, we may as well come to the understanding right now that actually, okay, God knows better than I do. I mean, how crazy are we to think that we know better than God? I mean, anyway, that we surrender our will to his and that we're obedient to what he says. Going to be an amazing life living like that. Ask him to work supernaturally in your life. Ask him to fill you again, renew you again. Ask him to do mighty things. Ask him, God, this is what your word says, that you're able to do immeasurably more. I want to see that. Can I see that in my life through me? What are you doing? You're being expectant. You're asking, you're praying in line with God's word for your life. You're expanding the opportunities of what God wants to do rather than just limiting him of what you think you can do with your own gifts, talents, and abilities. It's not about that. It's what God wants to do in and through you by his Holy Spirit. Yes or no? Okay. The second of my 20 points. No, second, we'll just look at this one. Exodus 34. Verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stones like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first two tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up from Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. And then it goes on. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks or the herds may graze in the mountain. But he says, be ready. Prepare yourself. How can I go deeper with God? How can I position myself? How can I in some way copy or learn from those that have gone before me, from those that their lives have had great significance? And he says there, be ready. Be ready. Commit yourself to God, not just your will, but your whole life. Be ready. What does the Bible say? Be ready to always give an account of the hope that you have. Be ready in season, out of season, all the time. Be ready. It means that every day you're linked and connected with God. Every day you're meeting with him face to face. Every day you're expectant that God's going to come and move and speak to you, and that God wants to do something through you. What Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Listen to this. God wants to bless those people that seek after him. He never withholds people. He never withholds things from people. The Bible says, talking about the giving the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give you? And he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But that's the character of God. That for those that go after him, that pursue him, that seek him, that are hungry for him, and are saying, God, do something new in my life, he's not going to come to you and say, you are such a loser. He always blesses those people that seek after him and desire him. Are you understanding what I mean? You can't lose out. But you see, this is what Moses did. He went for God. Show me your glory. It's not an apathetic kind of just, well, you know, I'm a Christian on Sunday and maybe I'll get to a home group. And I know I'm not speaking to anybody here. I want to know you. And when we press in and we seek after God, God is going to meet you. And you can't out-seek God. And you can't out-passionate God, if you see what I mean. You can't be more passionate for God than he is for you. No way. God is already ready to bless those who seek after him. Let me just finish with this. Exodus 33 verse 3. We read that earlier. No one is to come with you going onto the mountain or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks or herds shall graze in front of the mountain. God wants to meet with you personally. And the amazing thing is that God knows everything about you. Denise is preaching now. Yeah. God knows everything about you, yet he still wants to know you. And he's still interested in you. I mean, you know me a little bit, but I know me completely. I mean, man, if you knew what I knew about me, maybe you wouldn't want to know me. Nobody knows us like we know. Ali knows me pretty well, but she doesn't really know me totally. She doesn't know my thoughts. She doesn't know, I mean, but God knows. Yet, he still is interested in me. He hasn't cast me away. He hasn't cast you away. Even though he knows us. Hebrews 14 verse 13 says there's nothing hidden from God. And you know, it's that place of intimacy with God, that face to face, that when God speaks to us, that special things start to happen to us. When God speaks, we have a choice, and that is if we're willing to obey and apply what he's saying or not to act on his instructions. So what are we going to do? Are we going to be obedient when we hear him speak? We're all going to say yes because we're in church. Yes! I want to encourage you, when you hear God speak to you, obey what he says. Intimacy with God, expectancy for what he wants to do, and obedience to act upon what he tells you is key to encountering God in a new way. And I'll just finish with this. Abraham, he had amazing encounters with God. And there was a time where he had an amazing encounter with God, and he built an altar to God, piled up some stones, built an altar. And it was to remind him of what God had said, and it was to remind him of his faithfulness. Now, we don't build altars now, do we? So I'm not saying go home into your garden and build an altar. But there's a principle there about hearing from God and responding to what God said. And what God is looking for, he's not looking for altars, but he's looking for response to what he tells us. He's looking for a response in our hearts to what he tells us. And I'd encourage you to do that. And you know, what was amazing was during that encounter with God, God changed his identity. God changed him. And you know what? That's what God wants to do. A true encounter with God isn't just a meeting. It's a momentous experience that can change our identity, can change our outlook, can change our lifestyle. And that's what God wants for his people. That's what God wants for us. So do we need an encounter with God? Yes. We need to be encountering God and continually changed, impacted, and refreshed by his presence. And maybe, like Jacob, as we spoke just at the beginning, maybe we need to leave our past behind to let those things stop holding us back, to press into the new thing that God has for us. So I'm going to pray, and I just would like us just to spend a few moments, and I want to pray. As well, should we just close our eyes? I want to pray, just as we finish, to ask if there's somebody here or people here today and you think, actually, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. Actually, if you're going to ask me right now if I was going to die, do I know I'm going to go to heaven? Actually, I'm not really sure. I don't know. If you are answering that and you feel God's drawing you to him today, you can ask God, ask Jesus to come into your life. And ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Because the Bible says that actually, if our sins aren't forgiven, then we are going to be judged by God. And Jesus came to the world to make it possible for us to have a relationship with God. We couldn't have a relationship with God on our own. We needed a mediator, someone to help us, to draw us to God. And the Bible says that Jesus came and he died upon a cross and shed his blood. And he suffered so that we wouldn't have to suffer. So that we could have relationship with God. Not just relationship with God, but forgiveness of sins. Not just forgiveness of sins, but guilt washed away, past forgiven, a fresh start, a new identity, a new name, as it were, a new life. And so just want to pray and just ask if there's anybody here this morning, you say, I'd love that. I want that. I'm ready for that. If there is, would you just put up your hand? Everyone's eyes are closed and no one's looking. Could you just put up your hand so that I know? Today you say, please, I want to be prayed for. I want to give my life to God today. I want to respond to him. Is there anybody here? I want to become a Christian. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Lord, thank you for that person that responded today. I want to ask, Lord, for those others that are here that are on a journey, that you would draw them to yourself and that they may find the wonder, excitement, and amazement of what it is to have a relationship with you. Lord, we ask that you would be at work drawing people to yourself. And Lord, we just want to make a statement today to ask you that you would be, Lord, at work in us, and that, Father, that our hearts, God, would be searching for you, desperate for you, crying out to you, that we wouldn't be lukewarm, middle of the road, passive Christians, but God, we would be people that have conviction and people that are hot for you and people that know the God that they serve. And Lord, that we know, Lord, our reason for existing. And thank you for giving us a hope. And thank you for giving us a purpose in life. We pray that you would stir us up by your Spirit, Lord God. Help us not to get into a rut, but help us to seek after you and run after you. And God, boast about you above everything else. Lord, consume us, we pray. Captivate our hearts, we pray. And I pray, Lord, you would just transform us in our language, transform us in our services when we come on a Sunday, transform our lifestyles, transform our marriages, transform, Lord, our families and our relationships. Come and breathe the breath of your fire, Lord God, upon us. And Lord, we just ask as we go now and as we go into this this week, God, that we would know a touch upon our lives, something different, Lord. And let these points and these things that we've shared today resonate in our lives. And Lord, help us to live them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.